open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
All right. First things first, I guess, is how, and I think I've got the answer from a few different places, but how,
yeah,
you have like a weird kind of start to your career. How many years do you have to play at North Dakota State?
I have, so I started as a true freshman here at USD. I graduated, I'm graduating a year early from the University of San Diego, and I'm pursuing my MBA there, NDSU this upcoming fall. So I have two more years left of eligibility and one red shirt. So I never burned it.
Okay. Sure. Sure. Cause did you played this spring? Did you not?
Yes, I did.
Okay. But you played kind of knowing that it was a swan song, that you were going to end up moving on and going somewhere else. You just must obviously love the game of football.
Yeah. I mean, you have to play non-scholarship football, you know, especially at USD. There's a lot of guys that they end up quitting after the first week of camp, and you know, I risked injury this year too, but I love it, man. I mean, I wouldn't be playing if I didn't, you know. And I'm definitely looking forward to the challenge here at NDSU, and you know, upping my game and making myself the best version of myself possible.
So you just got out of we're doing this right now because you just got out of a team meeting at North Dakota State. I don't want you to, you know, sell any government secrets here, but what was that all about? Because I would assume that you hadn't been that directly involved with the program before, you know, officially announcing your commitment and stuff like that. So again, don't get us in trouble, don't get yourself in trouble. But what was that all about?
Yeah, that was just about the upcoming summer workouts, just getting the paperwork in and vaccinations and stuff. And that's what all is about, you know, and just finishing strong with finals. That's all that meeting was about today.
So what does your timeline look like, Luke? I mean, you've finished, obviously there are only four teams left standing, but and neither NDSU or San Diego is one of them. What does your timeline look like? How much, you know, longer are you figuring to be out west?
Yeah, I'm going to be out there June 1st. I graduate here May 23rd. And so I'm heading out probably like May 30th. And I'm looking for a place to stay and reside up in Fargo. But I'll be out there June 1st.
So are you from the West Coast originally?
Yeah, I'm from the West Coast. I got family out in the East Coast. My dad played in the 80s at Columbia, and he's from Jersey.
So a guy from the West Coast whose family ties are on the East Coast, how in the world do you end up at North Dakota State? Can you please walk us through that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the Bison and the Toreros have had history before in the playoffs, too. And as soon as I got the offer – all these kids that played in the 2017 game, a lot of I'm friends with a lot of the fifth years at USD, and they're all like, dude, that's one of the craziest, you know, college football environments ever. And just that and the mixture of the coaching staff showing me so much love. And, you know, you guys follow the transfer portal, right? You follow that stuff?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So the transfer portal, I was looking at that. I mean, I've been talking to – I had over – like 25 plus offers, right? And I've seen some of the schools that were just throwing out offers like it was Halloween candy during Halloween, you know. And NDSU, that was the only one they offered, you know. And that showed to me that they really cared about me and they really wanted me there. When they could have gotten anybody from a Power 5 school or anywhere, they went with me. So that told me why I chose them, as well as the fact that NDSU is a lot of tradition. Servite High School out in Anaheim, that's where I went to high school. They have a lot of tradition, a lot of winning and working hard. And I love Coach Kramer. I think he's a really good strength coach. And a lot of the guys said when they played NDSU, there was an obvious difference there. So I think it's the best possible opportunity for me to get looks at NFL-wise, get a great MBA out of it, and then just have a great overall college football experience. And that's why I went with NDSU.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt. They just had an offensive lineman drafted in the top 60. What is your experience like with Kramer? Was that somebody that the staff introduced you to? Do you get a chance to talk to him at all? Or is this, because he's, for a strength coach, yeah, he's kind of legendary.
Yeah, so, I mean, just talking to some of the coaches, like, that was one of the first questions I asked about with NDSU, or with every program I talked to, was how is their strength coach? You know, and just like, everyone talks about how great their strength coach is, but, you know, the proof's in the pudding with Coach Kramer. You know, it's hard to win games at the Division I FCS level. You know, it's hard to win games in general. And, you know, just to go from 2012 to 2019 with the Missouri Valley Conference, and then that huge national championship run the past couple of years, it obviously shows that, you know, he gets results. And that's what's huge for me, just off of what players have told me and what coaches have told me about Coach Kramer.
How long have you, I guess, kind of been, this is a weird question, but how long have you sort of been mentally committed to North Dakota State? Or have you been kind of following along with their run this spring, kind of at least in the back of your mind, knowing like this is probably the goal?
Yeah. I've been mentally committed since like April. The beginning of April, there was some issues that I had to deal with. I had to take the GRE. There were multiple schools that told me I didn't need to take the GRE. They had waivers for me, but I had to take the GRE here, and it was just I was just waiting to see if I could get accepted here. If not, I was going to go elsewhere. But you know, they got me into their MBA, and I'm very happy about that. And that's what ultimately made them number one.
Let's talk about the football side for a little bit here. Where did you slide in? You said you played a couple games as a true freshman, then you were all league as a sophomore. Not a lot of offense. I mean, you must have been 19, 20 years old at that point. Not a lot of offensive linemen are all league at that age. Where were you?
Yeah.
Where were you playing? Were you center, guard?
Well, I was playing right guard. I had to beat out a fifth-year senior as a true freshman here at USD, and I got my first two starts there as a true freshman against Marist and Nicholls State in the 2018 playoffs, which was a fantastic experience. And then last year, 2019, I should say, I got to play against UNI, and that's what kind of turned me in the direction to go to the Missouri Valley Conference. I mean, you know, I was playing against Ellerson Smith.
Yeah.
He was one heck of a player. Their little nose guard, number 44, was a good player too. And number 99 on UNI. I'm like, dang, this is some high caliber football. And, you know, I watched their tape against Iowa State. They took that team in the double overtime, you know. And that just shows that, you know, that the Missouri Valley can almost compete with any Power 5. And Iowa State that year was, what, ranked 25 in the nation?
Yeah.
And that showed to me that, you know, and NDSU dominated them so that year. And that showed to me that Missouri Valley Conference is some real football, you know, and that's what got me, that piqued my interest when they started coming after me in the transfer portal.
You know, obviously North Dakota State and every team in the country has the opportunity, every FCS team in the country has the opportunity to bring everyone back. From what I understand, of the guys that were starting by the end, you know, there are no departures anticipated. Mm-hmm. You never know. But you're in a situation where, you know, there are multiple guys with playoff starting experience, you know, Dakota Marker game starting experience, guys that have, you know, played plenty of football at North Dakota State that they obviously think very highly of. Whereas the staff said they want to start you out where do you see yourself competing, and where do you think the fit is?
Yeah, they see me as an interior offensive lineman there, so I can play all three. So they see me as competing for a either guard or center spot, and I'm just gonna compete my tail off and make sure I can get out there and play as soon as possible.
How much of a jump in competition do you think the Pioneer League? Because I don't, you know, there have certainly been teams that have gone into the Fargo Dome and taken worse beatings than University of San Diego. At the same time, mm-hmm. it is a non-scholarship league. Mm-hmm. USD is no stranger to just beating the brakes off of some of the teams in their league, kind of in a way mm-hmm. that NDSU is. Where do you see the jump in competition being?
Yeah, I mean, it just comes down to the resources. There are a lot of guys, like similar to NDSU, USD, and the Pioneer League has a lot of guys that are just angry, and they feel very overlooked. And it's seen, you can see that when they play these scholarship schools, you know. So I think that's where it kind of differentiates, is when these scholarship schools just have the resources and the really good staff and money and funds to get their players to the peak performance, whereas non-scholarship schools, they kind of they have a lot of guys that are just self-motivated and just want to prove to the world that they can compete at the not only Division I level but against scholarship teams.
I want to take a really quick detour and then we'll close it up. I want to ask, what was it? Because I think a lot of people ask this about North Dakota State, like how, mm-hmm. you know, how do they do it? What makes mm-hmm. them different, et cetera, et cetera. What I want to know is what makes San Diego different for a non-scholarship D1? Because you and that program don't lose a lot of games. And mm-hmm. that's kind of, you know, even when you get to like NDSU's level, you have cost of attendance that they can offer. Mm-hmm. It's hard to even know just how on the same playing field everybody is. Non-scholarship D1, you guys are pretty much on the same playing field. So that's why mm-hmm. I'd like to know, like, what does San Diego do well that those other Pioneer League teams or other non-scholarship D1s aren't mm-hmm. doing?
Yeah. They got an excellent strength staff, too. Coach Lamoureux, he was at Stanford, and he coached there. He did a great job, and that's what kind of reminds me of like Coach Kramer. I mean, that's what differentiates, you know, a lot of teams, you know, that separates the men from the boys. That and just the motivation these players have. You know, I met guys like, you know, we had the defensive player of the year, Kevin Glacian. I played against guys like Nick Ferdell, who was an All-American, sophomore All-American at USD, and Aaron Lout, all conference PFL guys. And those are the best guys in the conference. And just playing against some really good players every day in practice is what separates us from many other the PFL schools and many other of the scholarship programs in the FCS. I just think that competition and just level of playing kind of separates you from everybody else.
Get into the X's and O's real briefly here. What did you do mostly at San Diego? Were you run heavy? Were you pass heavy? You know, was it pin and pull? Did you guys run a lot of zone? Mm-hmm. I know, you know, obviously A-gap power is the Bible at North Dakota State. So how similar or how different are these two systems from like what you actually need to do on a play-to-play basis?
Yeah. So, I mean, even at USD, it's a pro-style offense. It's very similar to NDSU. I mean, when we're installing, we're doing install for camp and stuff. Whenever you get on the power day, they call it God's play. You know, that's we try to yeah. They said on the eighth day, God created power. That's what everyone says.
Sure.
But but yeah, we try to do 60-40. We're trying to run the ball. It opens up the pass game, and it's very similar to NDSU in that sense. We're trying to get into some heavy personnel. We're trying to, you know, get some good runs. One of our bread and butter plays this year was wide zone, and tight zone. You know, just switching between those two plays kind of keeps the defense honest, and it opens up the running game. Once the running game opens up, then we go to the pass game.
So you're anticipating, you know, being asked to do very similar things on a down-to-down basis, just maybe at a higher level.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Okay. Last one, and then I'll let you go. Did you watch the game against Sam Houston State?
Yes, I did.
What do you think the mentality of this team will be moving forward, and how do you see yourself fitting in there? The the 2016 team that didn't make it, you know, all they did was respond with three national championships in a row, including the last two being undefeated seasons. Where do you think the mentality is of this group right now as kind of a wounded animal?
Yeah. I wouldn't say they're a wounded animal. I would say they're going to come back hungrier than ever. You know, they're definitely going to have a target on their back. And in a similar way, it's the same thing happening at USD right now. Everyone thinks that Davidson's going to run the conference now, but I feel like guys are going to get angrier than ever. And I'm still friends with a lot of the guys there, and they're just working their tails off. So I'd assume that they want to keep this tradition alive of winning. And I don't think necessarily that people are just going to lie down and take it. I think people are going to respond, and that they're going to attack this off season, and then they're going to come into the fall and come out swinging.
All right, Luke. Thank you so much for the time.
Yeah, thank you, Ross. I appreciate it.